hem ett man. Enjoyed that good singing tonight, amen. I'm glad one day God built a city of refuge for me, amen. And it's not like that Old Testament city. There were six of them. I believe there were six, if that's right. And I'm glad in this New Testament age I only need one, and His name's Jesus Christ, amen. He is my rock. He is my refuge. He is my mighty tower, the psalmist said. Hallelujah. I'm glad he's a hiding place. He's whatever you stand in need of. Amen. Acts chapter number 3 tonight. I was planning, told Brother Freddie I went home today and was going to rest for a little while and spend some time looking over my notes. I've been preaching through the Ten Commandments, and tonight I was going to preach on Thou Shalt Not Steal. And I thought about even skipping that one, and the Lord began to show me I got a church full of thieves. And seriously, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I've enjoyed preaching and teaching through that. But as I lay there on the bed and began to look at my notes, I had a phone call, and I took the phone call, and I started to go back and try to sleep a little bit. And the Lord began to deal with my heart, and He just changed my message altogether. And I want to look in Acts chapter number 3. Most of you know this story very well. And I've always enjoyed it. I've preached from it before. The Bible said in Acts chapter 3 and verse number 1, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And the Bible said, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple." Now, stop right there and look up here. You understand what's going on with this fella? He was born crippled, and every day somebody picked this guy up. He's never taken a step, Brother Freddie, in his life. He was born this way, the Bible said, from his mother's womb. They would pick him up every day, carry him, and lay him at the gate of the temple. And I thought about this as I read that account again today. Things haven't changed very much. Amen. Things haven't changed very much. When people are in need, they come to the church. And we'll talk about that just a little bit more in a minute. But you got to understand why they brought him. They brought him there with his little basket or his little cups, and they'd say that the sick would lay there and they would cry, "Alms, alms." And you know what that meant? That meant, "I need some money." They were beggars. That's what they were. He was crippled. He was lame. They didn't have welfare back in them days, and they sure didn't have Obamacare, and they didn't have all this government help and government aid. He didn't have no food stamps. So everything this boy got was what came in that little old cup. Amen. So he, in our sense, he is a whole lot like these people who get the phone book out and they turn to churches and they just start down the line. Amen. I've had them ask me, "Pastor, have I called you yet?" Oh yeah. They're trying to figure out where they are on the list, and they just go down the line calling church after church after church after church, and they're asking for their needs to be met, whether it be a power bill or a water bill, or a lot of times people that call me, they don't even have a place to live, brother. They living under a bridge somewhere. One old boy, he comes by just every now and then, and he lives out in the woods around here somewhere, and he's always come by needing some money or a room for the night or something like that. But here's what I'm getting at tonight. They're always seeking the physical need. They're always seeking the physical need. We had a family stop here one time. It was me and Brother Eric, or me and Brother Freddie. I can't remember which one of them was the principal at the time. They stopped and they were in a hardship and they were trying to get from here to somewhere in Alabama, and they didn't have the gas to get there. And the lady, I could tell she didn't want us walking toward their car. I wanted to go to their car and give the gospel tract to the husband. There was three cases of beer in the backseat of that car. I said, "You want to get to Alabama, sell that beer to somebody." Amen. Amen. But people are interested in having that physical need met. And here's what I'm getting at tonight. There is a greater need than the physical. Amen. There's a greater need than the physical. What verse did I get to? In verse number 3. And Peter, verse number 4, fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. You ought to underline that little phrase. But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. How about that? Hey, Peter said, hey, look on us. Here's what it, just like your preacher says, look up here. Look on us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. With this thought in mind tonight, as such as I have. I think sometimes, as Brother Eric preached this morning, we don't realize what we have to offer God and what we have to offer others. I think Peter and John was saying, sir, if we put some money in that cup, it'll get you a meal tonight. But if we'll give you what we have in our heart, it'll get you into a shape where you can work and provide for yourself the rest of your life. If we put something in the cup, it'll change your day. But if you listen to what we have to say, it'll change your eternity. Amen. But such as I have, give I thee. Listen, I promise you, before the week is out, at least one phone call will be on my end. At least one. And I'm being very moderate there. There'll be more, I promise you. People needing money. Money, 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 money. And listen, that's not wrong. We're going to take up a love offering for Brother Shane here in just a few minutes tonight. There's nothing wrong with helping people with their monetary need. But man's need is greater than the physical. Yes, children need food in their belly. Yes, they need clothes on their back. Yes, they need a roof over their head and heat in the wintertime and lights and all that good stuff. They need those things. But if they die and go to hell with clothes on their back, we have missed the mark as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. If they die and go to hell with food in their bellies, when we have a greater gift to offer them. Amen. We've missed the mark. But such as I have, give I thee. Do you know you have something to offer every person you meet? Did you know you have something to offer every person you meet? I came in tonight and saw Brother Allen. I hugged my neck and told him I loved him. Why? Because he needs that. Even though he knows his Uncle Charlie's in heaven, he knows that. There's no doubt in his mind. He knows he's way better off than what he was yesterday morning. And Allen's rejoicing over that. But at the same time, he's a human being. And hey, I can encourage my brother. Amen. I said, you have something to offer every person you meet. The majority of the people we met yesterday needed Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen, I may not have the money to put power in the house, but I have the opportunity and the ability to share the power of God that'll cause you to become a child of God. Hey, I have something greater than power bill money or water bill money that I can share with men and women and boys and girls. But such as I have, give I thee. Hey, we all that are saved, we possess what Peter and John possess, but we seem like we're hoarding it up and keeping it to ourselves. Amen. People seem so disappointed. So disappointed. You go downtown Atlanta, you're going to get approached. Is that right, Brother Freddie? You go down there, especially after dark. Hey, man, you got a dollar? You got a little something I hadn't ate in 2 or 3 days. Usually they're lying. And it's hard not to be judgmental with some of that crowd. Amen. But you're going to get approached. And you reach in your pocket and say, sir, I'm sorry, I don't have any money, but how about, can I share a gospel tract with you? Oh, some of them get mad. Some of them get mad. Hey, man, I'm trying to give you something money can't buy. I'm trying to give you something. Hey, you're not going to get out of a wine bottle in the ghetto or in the gutter somewhere. I'm trying to give you something to keep you out of the rescue mission. I'm trying to give you something to change your life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When you do have some money, I tell, hey, I can't give you no money, but I'll walk you over here and buy you a hamburger. Amen.
Amen.
Listen, what I'm saying tonight is I don't care where you are in your Christianity, you have something to offer. If you're saved. Remember the little lady at noonday at Sychar's well? She came in the middle of the day because she was kind of an unclean kind of sort of lady. She lived real loosely.
Yeah.
Amen. We might would call her a skank. I don't know. She just lived that kind of lifestyle. I was trying to think of a word there, and that's probably wasn't a good one. But she lived a bad life. So she didn't come to the well when everybody else came. Y'all chill out. She didn't come when everybody else came in the morning or the evening. She came in the middle of the day when she wouldn't be scoffed at and made fun of, I guess, or shunned. But when she got there, she found somebody sitting on the well. Way before she made her trip through the well, the Lord Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. Amen. And he shared the story with her about the water of everlasting life. And she said to him, give me this water. And the Bible said, and she left her water pots, went back to town, and said, come see a man, amen, that told me all things which ever I did, is not this the Christ. I don't read where she went to a discipleship program. And I think those are good. I think we ought to get rooted and grounded in our Bible. Amen. I think as soon as you get saved, baptism, the next thing on your agenda. Amen. I do. I believe it. I think you ought to get baptized as quick as you can after salvation, before the devil gets a chance to sit down and get another foothold in your life. Amen. I think we ought to follow. Yeah, it's not essential for salvation, but it's essential for growth. Amen. Then I think you ought to get in a good Sunday school class somewhere. Amen. I think you ought to learn what you ought to do now as a Christian. When you get saved, all that other stuff's got to go. You got to replace it with something.
Yeah, amen.
Amen? But listen, you can have very little Bible knowledge and share Jesus with somebody. You ain't got to know anything, friend. She didn't know. She didn't have a clue. All she knew was this man told her all things ever he did, offered her everlasting water, and she said, I'll take it. I got to go tell somebody what just happened to me. You know, that's what a witness does. If you're called on the stand of a court to be a witness, you've either got to tell what you saw or what you heard. Is that right? It's kind of like that blind guy. They said, hey, man, what happened to you? He said, I don't know, but his name was Jesus. He said, here's what I know. I was blind, but now I see. Hey, man, hey, I can't explain it all, friend, but I was lost, but now I'm found. I really can't draw it out in a picture for you, but I know I was on my way to hell, and now I'm on my way to heaven. I can't explain it. Maybe if you'll come down to my church, they can help you with it. But, man, I'm here to tell you, it made a difference in my life. It made a difference in my life. Something changed inside. It didn't make me better than everybody else, but sure didn't make me feel better. Amen. What I have to offer. I tell you what I have. I have Jesus. I have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Turn to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. A few verses tonight. Ephesians chapter number 2. You ever just look at somebody and say, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? Some of this world's got such a twisted idea of what he is and who he is. They may think they know about Jesus, but they really don't know about him at all. He's not just an Easter story. Amen. He's not just a Christmas story. I love the Charlie Brown Christmas story. I think that's one of that is probably the best Christmas cartoon there is. But Jesus is more than that. He's more than a baby in a manger. He's more than a Savior on the cross. He's more than an empty tomb. Hallelujah. Hey, friend, can I tell you about Jesus?
Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 13. The Bible said, but now in, I like that. But now in, he's talking about us who were lost. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Thank God I can offer him because I'm in him and he is in me. Hallelujah. I couldn't offer Christ when I didn't know Christ. But thanks God, thanks be unto God that New Year's Eve when I trusted him as my Savior. Now I can introduce him. How do you introduce someone you don't know?
Amen.
Amen. Hey, I have Jesus to offer. That's better than a light bill. That's better than a car payment. Amen. That's better than a sack full of groceries.
Amen.
I worry about these humanitarian efforts overseas and Africa and all these other places. Oh, I agree. Well, let's put some food in them people's belly. But if that's all we're doing, then let's get them in school. Let's teach them how to read. Sometimes I think it's wrong if we go in and mess up somebody's culture. Amen. I think a lot of American missionaries have made fatal mistakes on a foreign mission field. They don't go to evangelize, they go to Americanize. Amen. Africa ain't America. Y'all all right? Our job is to evangelize. Amen. Our job is to evangelize and to take them Jesus, then put food in their belly. Or do them simultaneously at the same time. But don't do one without the other. Don't do the food without the salvation. Amen. When Brother Carlos first asked, could we get involved in helping and handing out these toys for tots? And I told him then, not unless we can present the gospel to them when they come to pick up the toys. Amen. Not unless we can tell them about Jesus, tell them the real reason for the season. Amen. We can offer them Jesus. And in Jesus, you know what we're offering? We're offering everything. We're offering everything. In Proverbs chapter number 18 and verse number 24, we're offering them a real friend. Amen. We're offering them a real friend. The Bible said in Proverbs 18, 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Now, there's two parts of that verse. Somebody said, well, I just ain't coming to church. I can't make no friends. Well, maybe you ain't friendly. Amen. Maybe you just ain't likable. So hang in there, Stacy. Maybe somebody else. I couldn't help it, brother. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Hey, but then the verse doesn't stop there. He says, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hallelujah. That's Jesus. That's what we were offering the city of Villarica yesterday, was Jesus Christ, a real friend, a friend indeed, not a fair weather friend, but one that'll love you regardless. Amen. Amen, buddy. Help me out. A friend. A friend. I love that song. The Henderson ladies used to sing it. Ashley and them sung it a time or two. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. I'd see Sister Patsy right now. That head thrown back. That mouth flopped open that wide. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. Amen. You ain't never had a friend like Jesus. If you've done your friends, your earthly friends, like you've done Jesus, I wonder if any of them would still be around. Come on. I wonder if you treated your friends around here like you treated Jesus. Amen. They probably wouldn't stick around. But you know what? Every time you sit there and get to feeling dirty and guilty and low down, sorry for what you've done, and you come crawling down here in this altar, you've confessed it so much you're even ashamed to do it again, you said, Lord, it's me. What's he do? Come on. He picks me up, wipes off my sin, puts me on my... Hey, friend, that is a friend. Hallelujah. And that's what, as such as I have, give I thee. Amen. I'm going to offer you a friend that'll love you no matter what. Amen. Don't think you don't have anything to share with anybody. Amen. Some people get the idea, well, I've just lived so wicked, they ain't going to believe me if I go tell them. That's what Moses said to God when he sent him to Egypt to tell Pharaoh to let his people go. They ain't going to believe me. God said, I didn't ask you what you thought. He said, I told you to go. Amen. I didn't ask you what you thought people would think. I just told you to go tell them. Amen. Don't worry about what people's going to think. Hey, man, there used to be people come to church to hear me preach just to see if it was true. Yeah, you heard Stacy. You got that right. I'm serious. I had one old boy come in and sit on the back row of the old church. He said, I just had to come see for myself. I said, here I am. Amen. You know what? Somebody might see that and go, wow. If God can do something for him. I had a boy I led to the phone. I led to the Lord over the phone one night. We lived on Marshall Fuller Road, our first little house we had bought. And a buddy of mine, his wife still comes to our church here some. He called me one night, all tore up. She's about to leave him. They're having a hard time, and I never have been able to get him in church like he ought to be, but he called me up, and here's what he said. He said, "Brother Eddie, I hate to call you in the middle of the night." He said, "But if I figure if God done it for you, surely he might could help me." Amen. I counted that an honor. I said, "Well, son, you got a Bible handy?" He said, "I've been trying to read it all day, but I don't know where to look." I said, "I do." Amen. I said, "You need me to come over to your house?" He said, "No, you just tell me where to go." Yeah. Amen. And we walked through them scriptures together. I said, "Now tell me what you need to do." He said, "I need to get out here right now and get saved." Yeah. Amen. Amen. You know why? He saw what God done for me. Amen. Amen. As such as I have. What is it I have? I have Jesus. In Jesus I have a friend. In 1 John chapter number 2 and verse number 1, you can look there if you want to, but in 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "If I sin, I have an advocate with the Father." Wow. Now, when you witness to somebody and they come up with that, "Well, I'm just afraid I can't live it." Say, "Well, there's a provision." Hey, amen. I'm going to preach on this for too long. There's an app for that. Amen. Hallelujah. There is an app for that, son. Oh, you can't live it. You're going to mess up. The best of us mess up. The best of us fail. The best of us hit our face time and time and time again. The Bible said, what kind of man is it falleth seven times? A righteous man? A just man falleth seven times, riseth up again. Yes, you're going to mess up, but get back to Jesus, our advocate with the Father. Plead the blood of Christ on the sin. Get up and go again. Amen. 1 John 1:9 still in the book, ain't it? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Son, I'm not just offering you a friend. I'm offering you an advocate. I'm offering you a go-between. Amen. Between you and God. In other words, I'm offering you somebody who will have your back. I'm offering you somebody who will have you covered. I'm offering you somebody who will take His righteousness and impute it or put it into your bankrupt account when it comes to righteousness. Amen? And when you stand before God, you'll stand before God in His righteousness, not your own. Amen? Not only that, look at Romans chapter number 8. As such as I have, what do I have? I have Jesus. In Him, there's a friend. There's an advocate. In Romans chapter 8 and verse number 37, I'm glad in offering Him, there's an ally. Amen. There's an ally. The Bible said, "Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." How about that? Well, I'm glad I don't have to go through my battles by myself. Amen. There was an old boy we used to run around with. I said his name. Several people here know who that was. Well, there's a boy we used to run around with, and if it come time to get in a fight, it was real good to have him on your side. Amen. And if you had to choose sides, it was easy. Just pick the one he is on. Amen. Hallelujah, because he'd beat you in the ground. Amen. I'm glad I've got somebody on my side that can handle any situation. I'm glad I have that to offer some poor sinner who's lost and don't know Christ. I'm glad to offer them not only a friend, not only an advocate, but a mighty conqueror. Amen. Did you know you ain't got a problem Jesus can't handle? Amen. Those people on your job. Oh, where's BJ? He ain't here. BJ called me from work the other day. He said, "Brother Eddie, there's a fella here. He's having a hard time. Help me to help him." I said, "All right." People are going to find out that you're a Christian. No matter how much you try to hide it, it's going to come out. Amen. They're going to find out you're a Christian. They're going to find out you go to church. On your job, when they start having trouble and they start having trial, they're going to come to you. You've got something to give them. Amen. You can offer them a friend in Jesus Christ. You can offer them an advocate in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can offer them an ally. Somebody who can help them overcome their battles. Amen. I'm glad Ashley Hofford had an ally when it came to cancer. I know y'all get tired of hearing that, but I don't get tired of telling it. I beat all I ever seen. I ain't never seen nobody get like she was and live. I don't think them doctors had either. They couldn't even figure out what kind of cancer she had. It was blowing all their minds. Here, take a video camera, make good memories for the baby. If God be for us, who can be against? I'm not saying it's always God's will to heal, but it was in that case. I can't help but think in heaven the Lord was saying, watch this. Hey, doc, will you video camera? Check this out. Hey, man, I just get happy every time I think about it. She had an ally. She had somebody on her side, and it was bigger than Aflac. Hallelujah. Quack on that, brother. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad we have an ally? Amen. Our problem is we fail to use our ally. We go through every other resource we have. Then we finally go, help. We ought to cry help to begin with. As such as I have Jesus. John chapter number 14. John chapter number 14. Aren't you glad you have him to offer?
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
I'm glad I'm not offering religion. You know what this world's sick of? They're sick of religion. They're sick of churches where they ain't welcome. Amen. And hey, by the way, when they come in here and they ain't dressed right, they ought to look at us and go, we ain't dressed right. We're supposed to be the example.
Amen.
Say amen right there.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to be the example for them to follow. But when they come in, we ought not be looking down our nose.
Amen.
Give them an opportunity to get saved just like you did. Give God an opportunity to work in their heart and their life just like he did yours. Amen. Just because you got on the right kind of clothes, just because your hair is cut right and clean and all that good stuff, just because you ain't got a bone in your nose and all that good stuff, just because you don't look like you fell in a tackle box. Amen. I seen a kid at the mall, though, that's exactly what he looked like. He had everything in the world stuck through his face. I thought, man, that's got to hurt. Amen. Give God a chance to work on them. My Lord, look how long it's took him with you. People tired of going to churches feel like they've been looked down upon.
Amen.
I tell you, man, if I'm gonna look down on somebody, I'm gonna have to have a ladder to climb up on. Amen. I know where he brought me from, what he pulled me up out of. Amen. John chapter number 14. We've got Jesus to offer them. In John 14 and verse number 27. I love this. Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We have Jesus to offer them, but through Jesus we have a friend to offer them, an advocate to offer them, an ally to offer them, but we also, through Jesus, have his peace to offer them. Amen. Listen, we can pass the plate. And we can get a little money for a light bill, but that money won't fix a marriage. Am I right about it? That money won't fix a marriage. And we might put some food in the belly, but we can't raise the children right. Money don't produce godly kids, regardless of what you may think or what others may have you think. How well one is dressed, or how fine a car they drive, or how big a house they live in, does not set the tone of where they are with God. Are you listening to me? We got some little old youngins come in off these buses, and they love Jesus more than some of you do. Got cardboard over their windows at home. They live in a handful of hell day in and day out. This is their place of peace, their place of refuge. Amen. Listen, we have peace to offer them. Everybody that comes to you for help, you know why they come? Because their heart's in turmoil. Their home's busting up. Their kids are in a mess. Their lives are in a mess. How many of you work a public job? That's most everybody. Since you've been saved, wonder how many of you'd say, I've had somebody ask me to help them, to pray for them, or whatever. Just about every one of us, hadn't it? Why are they coming to you? Give it some thought. They must know you've got something. They must see something. They must know you have something. Give it to them. Take them to John chapter number 14. Say, hey, you need some peace. And here's the way to peace is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In Philippians chapter number 4, he talks about I'm getting ahead of myself, but offer them peace. Peace in their heart. Do you know before you can have peace in the home, there's got to be peace in the heart? Amen. When people come to me and want marriage counseling, first thing I want to know is not do you love each other. Where are you at with God? Where are you at with God? Are you saved? Amen. Young couples come to me all the time wanting me to marry them. I don't care if I know, if I'm the one that led them to the Lord. I'm still going to ask them, are you saved? Amen. You can't build a relationship if you ain't got something to build it on. Do you know Christ? He's the foundation. He's the rock. And if you're not going to build it on that, it's going to come crumbling down. Amen. Amen. I look at men across my desk and say, as far as you know, is your heart right with God? Ma'am, as far as you know, is your heart right with God? You get peace in the heart, then there's going to be peace in the home. Amen. Amen. And I've seen it in such turmoil where one gets peace and the other don't. And boy, then you've got two spirits that are contrary one to the other. It's like Star Wars, man, good versus evil. And the fight is on. Amen. I've seen it where the husband gets saved and get right with God, and the wife's still wicked as all get out. And it goes downhill from there. Amen. I've also seen it where one gets saved and the other don't. And the one who got saved and got right with God, they feel it's their life's calling to condemn their mate. No. All you got to do is live right in front of them. Amen. But you get peace in the heart, that'll bring peace in the home. Amen. That'll bring peace in the home. And we have that to offer somebody, people who are in turmoil. Somebody said, pray for peace in the Middle East. Ain't going to be no peace till we get Jesus in the Middle East. How much peace is there in strapping a bomb to yourself and blowing up somebody and you? That ain't no peace. Man, what part? God ain't no part of that. Amen. Neither is there make-believe one. When Jesus came, you remember what the herald angel said? Peace on earth. They weren't talking about peace among the nations. They were talking about Him. He was the peace. He said, peace is here. If you want peace, here He is. If you want peace in your home, it's Jesus. Here He is. If you want peace in your heart, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Here He is. Just take Him. You'll have peace. Amen. Peace in the heart and peace in the home. In 1 Peter chapter number 1, turn over there with me right quick. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I love this verse of Scripture. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 8. Listen, what do I have? I have Jesus to offer to anybody who will listen. That's the greatest thing you can offer anybody. Amen. My wife and I were talking about it again the other day. I told you about the young Muslim man that was ready to tear my head off at Home Depot a while back. I wasn't even talking to him. I was talking to somebody else as he walked by, and I said, Jesus Christ. And when I did, it was like you poured hot water on him. Just that name. Oh, yeah. And brother, well, I mean, if I had let it go that far, we'd have fought physically right there. I had to beg him off. I had, sir, just go on. Please, just go away. I'm not talking to you. It was that bad. But if somebody really wants peace, we have it to offer in Jesus Christ. Amen. If a name makes you that mad, something's wrong with you. Amen. If a name makes you that mad, you've got a problem. But Muhammad, you say Muhammad, don't make me mad. There must be something to that, Brother Freddie, you reckon? Now, Obama, that one gets under my skin. I had to throw that in. 1 Peter chapter number 1, we have Jesus to offer them. We have peace to offer them. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 8, the Bible said, whom having not seen you love, and whom though now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice, I love this, with joy unspeakable and full of glory. With joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. When we as kids, we sang, I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. Y'all remember that? What happened to it? What happened to it? You ever wonder if people you get around look at you and go, if being a Christian makes you feel like that, I don't want no part of it. Yes, amen. Crabby old people. Yes, I ain't got nothing to be crabby about. Amen. Sinus headache, that's my worst complaint. Hallelujah. Yes. I'm going to heaven when I die. Yes. Amen. I'm as close to hell right now as I'll ever be. We have joy to offer somebody. Yes, but before they'll take it, they got to see it on you. Amen. It's not something you lay claim to. It's something you don't have to claim. You ever had that crowd at work go, what are you so happy about? Man, it's Monday. Yeah, hallelujah, it's Monday and I ain't in hell. Amen. Amen. We have joy. We have joy. Somebody said, you're the only Bible most people will ever read. And that's the truth. Hey, what's your attitude when you go to work tomorrow? What's your attitude? Listen, in theaters, I don't know if they still do this or not, Miss Stephanie, Vanessa Warren's daughter, Mike could tell us, but in theaters years ago, they had, I forgot what they called them, but on the screen during the previews, they had flashes of pictures so fast the naked eye couldn't even see them. Subliminal advertising. Thank you, Brother Rusty. Subliminal. That sounds like something he'd be involved in, doesn't it? Subliminal advertising. They'd flash a thing that says, drink Coca-Cola, eat popcorn. And people just get up and go. They were seeing something they didn't even realize they were seeing that prompted them. Several years ago, I was preaching at New Manna Baptist Church. Brother Shirley was telling me, or maybe it was Brother Harry was there then. They were raising money for their seniors, for their senior trip in their Christian school. And I said, what's the best fundraiser you ever done? He said, oh, it's simple. He said, we went and bought one of those big popcorn machines like at the theater on wheels. He said, every day at lunch, we roll it out here and start popping popcorn. Nobody wants popcorn until they smell it. He said, as soon as you start popping that popcorn, everybody in the whole place got to have a bag of popcorn. Yeah. Amen. Amen. What are you saying? They'll want it if they see it. If you'll go to work, sir, and brag on your wife, I'm not talking about intimate details. I can't stand to hear people do that. Your life behind your bedroom door ain't nobody's business. But if you'll go to work and talk about your wife being your best friend, what a blessing she is to you and what a help she is to you, them old boys are going to start listening that all they ever do is call their wives ugly words. Are y'all listening to me? If they see you really happy, instead of complaining and mumbling and groaning all the time, they're going to go, yeah, where do you go to church? I don't know what's going on over there, but I'd like to have some of that. Amen. I worked a public job. Brother Clint will tell you. I mean, we have more time off than we had on. I don't know how many sick days. You didn't get paid overtime. You got comp time, which was time and a half off. I love to fish and hunt, man. Yeah, you can't beat that, brother. I mean, we had it made. Ever benefit in the world? 2 weeks off at Christmas, a week off at Thanksgiving. I forgot what all. I mean, just weeks and weeks we had off. You know what that bunch did every day? Grot. I'm serious, a heart attack. Sat around and grot. Oh, I hate this stinking job. I will get out of here, Jack. You're earning it for the rest of us. I like it. Amen. I can lay out and go fishing tomorrow and won't get fired. I'd call my boss, he's dead and in heaven now, his name was Tom Kidd. This was back when I used to fish a lot. I'd call in, I'd say, he'd say, Eddie, are you sick? Yeah, the fish are biting. He'd say, go on. He said, I'm sure you'll feel better time you get to the lake. Who can complain about a job like that? Ain't that a blessing? And still got paid. I'd be out there on that lake chunking and whining, boy. They paying me to fish. Hallelujah. You gonna go to work and gripe all day tomorrow? After seeing a day like, oh, Brother Jerry told me during fellowship, had two boys in his Sunday school class got saved this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. When you go to work tomorrow, how was your weekend? If you'll really start telling them, they may quit asking. So you ain't going to believe it. There's 2,000 people in our church parking lot on Saturday. We handed out 6,000 gospel tracts. Two little boys got saved. Three got saved Sunday morning. Boy, we had a time. Amen. We have joy to offer. Let them see a smile on your face. Listen, I'm going to let the cat out of the bag, and I'm taking this real slow. But me and Brother Alan Jones have been talking a little bit about starting our adult choir back. And we're going to do that very slowly. We're going to do it with a core group and then bring some others in that get a core group to know their parts. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, you know the worst thing I hate to see in a church, and I preach in them all over the place? Go in, sit down on the church. All you can see is the choir. I am on the winning side. Yes, I'm on. Not a smile. Remember when before we stopped the choir, it was constant smile, smile. I mean, I'm like, yeah, smile. I get up on Sunday morning facing the choir, boy, I know I ain't smiling. Amen. Man, when folks come in here, you know what? When visitors left here this morning, we had three boys from Pensacola College came up and went to a Braves game, came to our church this morning. That's a blessing, man. You know what? They come to get in on something. I bet when they left, they don't know Tommy Man from a hole in the ground. They don't know who he is. But I guarantee you they didn't get in the truck and leave and go, boy, that fella sure was upset, wasn't he? I'm afraid that fella may go home and shoot himself. No, they got in the car and talking about the service. Man, did you hear that message? Yeah, man, that was great. Did you hear that song? Yeah, it was great. Did you hear that man shouting his head off? Man, that guy is either really happy or on something. Probably both, amen. There's no doubt. I want people to come in this place on Sunday morning and go, what are these people so happy for? Did they just win the lottery? Yes. Oh, yes. But it wasn't a game of chance either. It's a sure thing. Jesus paid the price and we just cashed in on it. Amen. We have joy to offer them. 1 John chapter number 3, and I'm done. I'm just talking about, I just want you to know what you have to offer somebody. 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 14. The Bible said, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. We have Jesus to offer through him all these other things, a friend, an advocate, an ally, peace in our heart and our home, joy unspeakable and full of glory, and we have love to offer. We have love to offer. You know what we ought to do? We ought to love people. We're in the people business. You ought to love the people you work with. You ought to love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. If these people that make fun of us, make fun of our boys preaching on the bus, if they was really saved, I don't think they'd do that. Or they're saved and full of the devil too. Amen. I think if you're saved, you won't talk about your brother and sister on Facebook. Amen. Somebody ought to put a stop to that junk. Amen. I'm thinking about getting me one. Just so I can read yours. And every time you gossip, I'm just going to respond, you're wicked. Well, put that verse right there on it every day. We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Hey, and if some of y'all would do that to some of this crowd, it'd stop. I mean, blister them in Jesus' name. Is y'all all right? And we're supposed to love each other. Amen. You know what? I ain't had a fight with nobody in a long time. I ain't. When I was a young pastor and stupid and still ain't real sharp, but when I was really stupid, when I mattered so much, oh, but I'd have it out with you in a heartbeat. There's some people I ran off from here. I wish to God I hadn't had a temper. Amen. You know what? I found out over the years, Brother Freddie, it's easier to love them. Yeah. It's just easier to love you. I still got to preach you the truth. Tell you when you ain't doing right. But I ain't got time to fight with you. Hey, people dying and going to hell, man. We're on the same side. Do you know the only time old coon dogs will fight? When they in the dog box. They'll chew each other's ears off, won't they, Stacy? I mean, they'll just rah, 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 go at it. But as soon as you turn them out and they get their nose on the coon track, but they forget about fighting each other. Amen? There's unity then. Yo, yo, yo. Boy, there they'll go. To that coon's tree. Now, sometimes they'll fight at the tree over who gets to eat the coon up. Amen? We ain't got time to fight each other. And if we'll stay busy serving Christ and trying to share Him, what we have with others, we won't have time to fight amongst ourselves. Amen. 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 We're supposed to love each other. I'm tired of hearing about church splits. Brother Eric, been on deputation. What did he say, Brother Fred? The last five? Is that right? The last five or six churches he's been in were churches that have just going through or going through a church split. You know, for 17 years I've prayed for protection against that. We've had people get mad and leave, but we ain't never had groups get mad and leave. Thank God, we're not above it. Brother Eric told you this morning, we're not above it. The devil could use you to cause it. Amen. But we're supposed to love each other. Your kids aren't supposed to hear you sitting around the table running each other in the ground. How do you expect them to respect their Sunday school teacher when you talk about them? Or their youth pastor? Or their pastor? Or the assistant pastor? Whatever, the leadership. We're supposed to love each other. Amen. There's a fella that I know. Several of us know, me and Brother Clint more especially. We were taking one of my horses over to Nicolette for her to ride the other day, and we was talking about this guy. And not talking bad about him, but we were just talking about how amazed we were. This guy doesn't go to church at all. But he knows what's going on in every church around the county, or two or three counties. If there's trouble in a church, he knows about it. What are you saying? I'm saying the world is watching us. They're watching us. If all we do is sit around here and fight and fight and fuss amongst ourselves, they get wind of that stuff, man. Amen. I don't know what all we can accomplish for Christ, but I would like to reach the end of this thing one day and say, Lord, we never split. I would like to birth other churches out of this church. That would be a good thing to do. It really would. There's places in America that needs churches. And I think when we're especially financially and spiritually able, I'd love to plant some churches. But I don't want to plant them that way. I don't want to plant them where we can't get along with them. You know what I'd like to do? The preacher boys that leave here, I'd like to be able to preach for them. I'd like to have them back to preach for us. Amen. I don't want it to be, oh, we don't go there. I was at a funeral this past week. And I looked around at who all was there. And I looked around for a bunch of people that should have been there. But they wasn't. They should have been there. But they let division creep in. Sometimes we got to look over one another's faults.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes we got to get to a place where we can forbear one another a little bit. Realize we're all idiots at times. And we all make mistakes. Listen, you're still married to your spouse because you love them. Not because they're perfect. Is that right?
That's right.
Me and you, think about it. If you've been married over 6 months, she loves you.
Yeah, amen. Thank you, Lord.
Because you're an idiot. I'm just here to tell you that. Every man is. I'm one of you. We're insensitive. We don't think. We say things the wrong way. How many times have you ever had to say, well, I didn't mean it like that? Can I get a witness? It's because she loves you. Amen. And we'll stick together as a church because we love each other. Not because everybody does everything we agree with. We all make mistakes. Let's be a little forbearing of one another. Hey, let me just give you this. When somebody's doing things that are hurtful, saying things they ought not to be saying, I know it's hard, but pray for them. And realize they may be the spiritual weaker. And pray God just deal with their heart and help them.
Amen.
Amen. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. What we did yesterday throughout our city was more important than if we had been throwing $100 bills off top of that bus. I bet you nobody would have disagreed with that. Amen. Why? Because that's just physical need. But, buddy, we're throwing out spiritual need. Amen? If they only knew what a value, what a valuable thing they had turned their backs on. Amen? I'm just going to pray we can see real revival in our city. Amen? Let's stand our feet tonight. Brother Todd, if you would, y'all come and just get us a song, just a verse maybe. Listen, with most of us, that's a no-brainer. We know what we have. We know we're saved. We raise our hands when we sing, I know my name is there. But
how faithful are we to offer what we have to somebody else? I don't mean in a condemning, judgmental kind of way, but just out of love. Our family members, co-workers, friends at school. Say, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? Brother Charles asked people yesterday out there on the street, he'd have them a track, and he'd say, hey, are you saved? If they don't know what that means, that's a good indication they're not. I noticed on a visitor's card today, this morning, a family came to our church. They said they were interested in knowing more about our church, but as far as having a church, they did not. They weren't a member of a church. Sometimes that's a good indication they may not know Christ. God's gave us an opportunity to reach that family. Boy, what a privilege. He could have let them go anywhere. Churches all over this county, over 90-something in our yellow pages. He could let them go anywhere. He let them come here this morning. Wow. Silver and gold have we none, but such as we have. we'll give you. Amen. We have Jesus. We have His Spirit. We have His presence and His power in this church. Let's take it to the world, friends. Amen. Y'all go ahead and sing. God dealing with your heart tonight, you come.